looking at a very happy crowd outside of our stage here at MetLife Central, because in the building today at MetLife Stadium, Giants with a big-time 52-27 win over the New Orleans Saints, improving their record to 8-5. A very important win it was, because the other teams in the division all won. How you doing, everybody? I am Russ Salzberg. Welcome to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex here on My Nine. My colleagues today, Roman's in Tampa. Roman Oman is in Tampa being honored with their Super Bowl team, so that's why he's not here today. Howard Cross and Amani Toomer. And guys, let's put it this way. This is one, especially what happened earlier in the day, they had to have, and they certainly had it in convincing style.
Yeah, they did a good job. You know, the thing I like best is that they eliminated a lot of the penalties. Not all the penalties, but a lot of the penalties. And they ran the ball, especially David Wilson, showing up when you needed him, doing a good job. Not just running the ball, but in the return game as well.
I think the return game is really the key to this game. What they did in terms of getting switching the field position, getting a struggling offense going early on, I think that was the key to the game. David Wilson really showed out today. He ended up showed up why he was a first-round draft pick.
Well, I'll tell you what. Again, as I said, it was one they had to have. And for a while, it looked like the Giants were going to get themselves a great deal of help, because early on, it looked like both the Skins and the Cowboys were going down. They came back. And why don't we take a look at the standings? Because if you take a look at these standings, you're going to see things are just about tighter than a sardine can. You have your Giants in first place with today's victory. They're 8-5, right behind the Washington Redskins and the Dallas Cowboys at 7-6. Eagles at 4-9. So really, the heat is on. You know, Tom Coughlin has said, guys, we got to win all four games. He said that going into today, and you kind of think that has to be the case.
Well, it's a case, and also the thing that helps them out a lot is that they're playing against the teams that are the best teams in the league. They're going to play against Atlanta. They're going to play against Baltimore. The last game, of course, will be against the Eagles. They'll have that what we call the U-Haul game. Their trucks will be running the keys. All the flight plans will be made. So when you're playing against the best teams, it seems that the Giants show up and play their best games. You saw it against San Francisco. You saw it against Green Bay. You even saw it against the Saints team, that I thought was a pretty good team. They hadn't played as well as they could without their coach, but they're still a very good team.
Yeah, I was really worried about this matchup coming into the game, just because of the fact that the history between these two teams, the Saints have pretty much dominated the Giants. So I didn't come to the stadium today thinking that the Giants had an easy road, no matter what the record was for the Saints, because whenever you're playing a game, it's always about the matchups. And the matchups between the Giants and the Saints doesn't really favor well for the Giants. They came out today and proved it, played a very good game, complete game, with a lot of help from their special teams and defense.
Oh, speaking of special teams, David Wilson sets a team record, 327 all-purpose yards, 227 courtesy of the returns, 100 on the ground. And Tom Coughlin has said, give us field position, give us field position. Last week they were starting at their own 15. They got the field position today.
You know what? I tell you what, they did get the field position. The thing that worries me, though, they didn't punch the ball into the end zone enough. They kept stalling right after they get the big play, run it to the 50, three and out, run it to the 50 again, three and out, an interception, bringing it across the 50, three and out. That was a problem. And on the opposite side of the ball, the other thing that was a problem was the big plays they were giving up in the passing game. We're talking about plays over 40 yards. You can't do that if you're going to beat these teams down the stretch and get into the playoffs. And once you get into the playoffs, the ball is going to be so precious and the field position so precious. They were changing the field position in three plays sometimes and even scoring.
Yeah, and sometimes the Eli was throwing some interceptions. I think that was overshadowed, I think, by the success that he had towards the end of the game, coming up with the four touchdown passes. I think him getting off to a good start and him sort of turning the tide on how his recent slide in the last couple weeks, I think that's going to help this Giant team, give them more confidence going down the stretch, because their leader, their quarterback, is starting to play some good football.
All right, Amani Toomer, Howard Cross, I am Russ Salzberg. Again, you're watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex. While we wait for the coach, let's take care of some business. Buy and sell Giants tickets at NFL.com/ticket exchange. Don't wait. Buyers get in and sellers get paid. Again, coach coming up. You're watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex, here on My Nine. All right, folks, guests of our post-game show here receive a gift certificate to Ben & Jack's Terrific Steakhouse, with not one but two convenient locations in Manhattan. One's on East 44th Street, the other on 5th Avenue at 28th. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood, and I'm sure you worked up an appetite with this game, Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of a steakhouse. And right now, what do you say we go right downstairs where Paul Dottino caught up with OCU Manure, who had a sack late in the game. Paul?
Well, a dominant performance by you guys, OC. Everybody said this past week, backs were against the wall. You had to win four in a row. You just got one.
Yeah, I mean, that's all we can focus on is getting this one. Not as dominant as we would have liked, but at the end of the day, it's a win, and we're happy about that.
What was the key to containing Breeze? Obviously, your offense gave you a lot of points to work with.
Definitely, man. That's the key, man. And then at the end of the day, if we're able to, you know, get some pressure on him, you know, we knew they were going to throw the ball quickly a lot and try to run the ball, which they did. But at the end of the day, all we had to do was, you know, stay focused and keep our discipline, and we're able to do that.
How much did you know about how the Redskins and Cowboys had pulled their games out before your game started?
Some of us knew. Some of us didn't really care. We just knew we had to win this game no matter what they did. And, you know, we just need a chance to keep on playing, and we're happy with what we were able to do today.
OCU Manure, thank you.
Thank you, man. Take care.
Okay, back to you guys.
All right, Paul Dottino with OCU Manure, which leads me right into the first thing I wanted to talk about. One thing that is a concern, you know, you were talking about punching the ball in. To me, a big concern was a lack of pressure from the pass rush. We've been hearing about NASCAR, and I said today they look like go-karts. I hate to say it for a little bit. No, they haven't been applying pressure.
Well, I think the game plan today was knowing that Drew Brees was going to throw the ball quick and early. They tried to just get their hands up and knock the balls away. Obviously, they didn't do that that well. I think the Saints did a good job. You got to give them credit for running the ball, keeping the Giants' pass rush off balance to not allow them to pin their ears back and go after Drew Brees until the end of the game when they were forced to just be one-dimensional, which was throw the ball.
I think they did a good job of just covering guys down the field for mostly, but they finally got a little pressure on them at the end of the game.
We'll talk more on that. Right now, we're going to go right to Coach Coughlin at the podium.
The energy and demonstrating greater purpose, because that's what really encourages all the fans to be involved in the game and appreciative of the way we play on the field, and then therefore we're appreciative of what goes on in the stands. We're now 2-1 in our six-game season. This was a battle, as you can tell. You know, we're +2 in turnovers. David Wilson broke the all-purpose record, yardage record, the kickoff returns, and he had 100 yards rushing as well. You know, we did a lot of good things today, and yet we've got more to get done. We spoke at halftime with a smile on my face about we're capable of playing better than we're playing right now. And you saw when we jumped out to get a lead, they came back so quickly, and that's the kind of football team that they are and have been. It was nice to play them here in our stadium, and nice to be able to win the game.
Like we finished today, especially
when we finished. I don't even know what the numbers are, but when you say finish, I'm thinking finish the game. We did finish the game well.
I meant scoring touchdowns, Tom. Except you scored a lot of touchdowns that kick fields.
That's the idea. Again, I don't know what the numbers are, so I can't even comment.
Can you just talk about David Wilson and his contribution today and the way we basically all season from the break that.
Well, he did a great job. Our kickoff return team gave us unbelievable field position, some of which we didn't take advantage of. But then J.J. Jernigan jumped in there, and he made a play as well. So I was really pleased with that. It was good, hard, fast running, but obviously there was some good blocking going on as well.
Tom,
we stayed away from the penalties, too, which, God almighty, is that discouraging to have a – last week we had a ball returned to midfield and had a penalty.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Do you think guys were conscious, aware of what had happened in the last 5 minutes of the Dallas game, the Washington game? I'm sure you know now. I don't know. Did you know as you took the field that they had both won on?
No.
No. So do you think guys were even aware? Would it have mattered? Did it play any effect?
It didn't have any effect on us on the field, because, I mean, some of them may have known it, but I didn't pay any attention to it. What happened?
They both won on the last play.
On the last play.
So you went.
We
from,
won,
you
know, though,
you,
too, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just say, like, you're looking at, you know, where it looked like they were both going to lose, and maybe you have a chance to open up a big lead, and then it looks like then they win
we could,
in the last
You know
second.
Better than that. We couldn't stand for that.
How's Ahmad?
I'm sure he's going to be sore, as he always is, but he was able to go back in.
Could he have come back in, or is it just a matter of
I think he could have.
Tom, you're season and have this kind of work out there on the
Well, he, you'd never, I don't know what you mean by up and down, because he's the same every day. He's an upbeat kid and, you know, loves to play, has great energy. You know, let's be honest, for a rookie, he struggled at times with some of the protections and that type of thing, but it's never been anything that has had a negative effect on him in terms of his attitude. His attitude has always been good. So for him to come back and out today and have the kind of game that we needed him to have, we needed a spark, and we certainly got one, it's, the timing is right. The timing is right.
Coach, speaking about a spark, Stevie Brown made an interception that kind of changed momentum. But also with that, his yardage surpassed Dick Young's and Emmett Tunnell. Someone can talk about that with him? How important
that is. I just learned this as we were coming out here. But Steve's yardage now becomes, with interceptions, sets the record for the New York Giants. So, you know, he was in position again today. The one in the third quarter that he picked off, was that third or fourth? I guess it was fourth. The one in the fourth quarter that he picked, boy, was that was that timing right? Because we, you know, they had flipped the momentum on us almost completely. We weren't doing much about it at that time, but thank goodness we were. He makes that play, and we end up kicking field goal.
How does this team play its best when there's no margin for error?
I don't know. You'd have to go ask somebody else that one. I would hope we play best all the time, but it's not the case. We have traditionally done a decent job in certain years when we had no margin for error and our backs were to the wall. So, I mean, if that's the case, then let's keep our backs to the wall.
Time last year, Antrell, if you remember him calling out guys maybe to be on the practice field more, and this week he called out guys to kind of be a little bit nastier. Do you feel, one, like he has emerged as some sort of leadership voice that guys really listen to? Do you think your team maybe needed a little message like that week? What do you think? And then even the way he played today?
Well, I think everyone knows now that what Antrell does think about what he's going to say and does say at this point in time, people take it in a very positive vein. And what he did say last week was he was saying it from the heart. You know, he saw what he saw, and he thought it needed to be discussed or at least stated. And so whether or not there was a response along those lines, I couldn't tell you. But I do know that we had a very difficult opponent to try to defend, and frustrating at times that they were running the ball the way they were. But eventually did a little better job in the second half on that as well.
All right, that was head coach Tom Coughlin, and he brought up a point that I wanted to bring up to you guys. Antrell spoke this week. Antrell also has been playing some outstanding football, and he was solid as a rock today. That first Stevie Brown interception was a result of an Antrell roll tip.
You know, he talks about being a little more physical, being more aggressive, being more, you know, dogging the guys, getting after him. That's a part of the game that, you know, it seems like we're almost missing now. We're like, no hits to the head. Be careful. Don't hit anybody. We'll fine you for anything. And guys start to slow down. Plus, they've already got two Super Bowls rings on their fingers. Those things kind of slow guys up. And he's like, hey, guys, let's get back to playing some football. Let's go out there and knock some guys around. And that's what they did today. They got out there and hit guys. Not so much in the pass rush, but when the ball was in the air, guys were getting hit.
Yeah, I think that, you know, offensive players can't do the same types of things that defensive players do in terms of being aggressive. But I think that the way they were aggressive on offense today was they didn't have a lot of penalties. They took shots deep and made some plays. I'd like to see Hakeem Nicks come up with some big plays, get involved in the offense. Last week was kind of his first week back, and now he's really entrenched himself, which is going to make it easier for everybody. And also Bennett at tight end, he played a very good game too, and he's starting to be – the production of the tight end is really starting to pick up.
He is a big target. And 52 points today, the first time Giants go over 50 since 12-20-86 when they beat the Packers 55-24. All right, let's take care of a little business, folks. This segment brought to you by Adorama, the official electronics dealer of your New York Giants. Text Adorama to 88769 for a free gift. You are watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9, presented by Timex.
A
Akeem, at some points during this game, it looked real easy for you guys being able to get open. Of course, Eli was able to find you a number of times.
Yeah, you know, I think it just came from us, knowing what was at stake. We wanted to keep moving the ball, make productive plays, and you know, we just came out here and played hard.
You guys knew that the Saints had a high-powered offense. How much pressure did that put on your offense to have to outscore them?
Well, you know, first off, we had our trust in the defense, and we knew our defense would come out here and do what they were supposed to do. But, you know, at the same time, we had to put drives together and keep them off the field as well and come up with points every time we was on the field.
On one of that diving plays, looked like you banged your knee. I was a little concerned for you. Looked like you got up a little gingerly, but you kept going throughout the game. You had that one touchdown catch, too.
Yeah, you know, everybody know what it is around this time. Yeah, everybody's a little banged up. So, you know, just got to keep fighting through it all and just keep on grinding.
Keemix, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, back to you.
All right, thanks very much, Paul. And really to see Hakeem Nicks starting to get back. And like he says, everybody's banged up now, but he's starting to get back in a flow and develop a rhythm. I think it was 4 catches for 67 and a touchdown, but he's looking like Hakeem Nicks.
He is looking like Hakeem Nicks. The thing also you got to think about is that Eli underthrew him a couple times when he was wide open. He had a chance to, you know, have a 100-yard receiving game himself. He did a good job. Where I'm seeing him improve is he's actually been able to get separation. So that's pretty good. So speaking of guys, you know, let's go to Eli right now.
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, had a good little lead there for a little bit, but their offense is high powered and fought right back got it within a score, but we obviously responded right back, got a couple touchdowns and, you know, a field goal and a couple big plays. So, you know, that's what we needed to do. So, you know, it was a good performance by all three phases. And offense, defense, special teams obviously was outstanding. Defense getting us turnovers and offense, you know, scoring touchdowns, making enough plays, scoring enough points to get the win. Yeah, I thought the red zone was definitely better. You're not always going to be 100%. You want to be. There's going to be times where, you know, the defense makes plays, and so they had but I thought we had opportunities. We had chances. They made a couple plays on a fade to Akeem that you know kept us to a field goal. But after that, you know, we started making the plays that we needed to, and hit Hickson on a fade, hit Martellus on a little one, and. Started running the ball in there as well, then obviously hit Victor in a little play action. So, you know, those red zone where we need touchdowns, we've been talking about that. You know, I think we get inside the red zone more than anybody. We just got to make sure we're getting touchdowns, and tonight we did a lot better job of that.
Eli, how impressive was the job David Wilson did, both running the ball and on special teams?
Yeah. He had a big night, and obviously his. His special teams and his kickoff returns were outstanding. Obviously, giving us a touchdown after I threw an interception for a touchdown was very nice of him. I appreciated that. And then a couple other great kickoffs, getting his field position, and then the runs. I thought he ran hard. Just a little while ago, I said, you know what your best play was picking up that free safety blitz on a play action. So he's learning. Obviously, running hard, a couple big runs at the end, get some first downs, and. Obviously, showed the speed on the toss for that last touchdown.
Eli, how nice is it to get the field position that you guys got from special teams and the defensive turnover?
Yeah, I mean that's outstanding. When the defense gets fumble recoveries, interceptions, that gives us great field position, and we're able to respond and get touchdowns. Hopefully, out of that, and it makes a big difference. We don't have to drive 70 or 80 yards. We don't have to drive 30 yards to get points. Makes our job a lot easier.
Eli, do you get done with Wilson? If you can score from anywhere on the field.
Well, he's definitely got breakaway speed and showed it tonight on a few plays. And obviously his kickoff returns, that's huge for us. If he can get a couple of those a game or one of those a game to give us great field position. But tonight obviously had 3 or 4 great ones, and then Jernigan also. But if you can get some runs to him where he can, I thought he ran hard tonight on a lot of plays. And, if we just get him a few touches, the more touches you get him, the more opportunities he's going to have to break a big one.
Yeah, all the passes are good that you threw 4 touchdowns today. But the pass that you threw to Nixon had a particular effect. Talk about that, because you felt real comfortable throwing that pass in the clock.
Yeah, they played, they do a good job of kind of rotating their safety. So on that one, I knew I was going to have one-on-one coverage and needed a touchdown on that situation. So I was confident and had good rhythm and put it right in a spot where only he could catch it or nobody. And he made a great catch and getting in bounds and a big play for us right before halftime, giving us an 8-point lead going into halftime.
Well,
those few weeks where the passing game was really kind of out of sync. Now these last 3 weeks, you've seen a lot of different results. How have you guys been able to get that passing game back on track?
Yeah, I think offensively, just continue to work and make sure everybody is doing the right things. Our assignments, our technique are perfect, and getting back to practice and make sure everything's sharp and we're doing exactly what we need to do to get open. Offensive line's protecting. We're getting good, down in distance, and not having a whole lot of third and long situations. So I think guys are just are stepping up and responding, and getting Akeem back running where he's making plays again is obviously outstanding, and getting Hickson back into the mix, getting him healthy. All Martellus has been playing well, so all those things make a big difference.
What kind of space does Cruz get
Yeah, I think when you have three receivers and a tight end who are all capable of getting the ball, and you have great confidence in them and trust that they're going to get open and beat whatever coverage they're throwing at you, wherever the one-on-ones are, it eliminates what defenses do. They can't just say, hey, we're going to double Akeem and double Victor, and if they want to do that, hey, we'll win with Martellus, we'll win with Hickson. So I thought tonight we mixed it up really well. Just makes my job a lot easier when I can just read the coverage and understand what my rules are, where I need to go with the ball, and the first guys are winning on their routes.
One more for Eli.
Right before kickoff, Dallas and Washington won in dramatic fashion with field goals at the end. Are you guys aware of that? And if so, did that change the feel of the urgency of this game?
No, I mean, I think we came in all week knowing what this game meant, and we needed to get a win. I think our concern, right now and for these next 3 weeks is about the New York Giants and what we need to do. And, that's all we can focus on. And so, obviously each week, it might present a different circumstance. But obviously after the first week of this four-game season, all three teams in the NFC East won. I think Philly won also, so all four teams. But, in this race, won games, and so we got to keep going and keep winning football games.
Yeah, one of the areas that I think that I'm happy about watching this offense is I feel like they're growing. I feel like you see guys like Dominic Hickson stepping forward. There was an area last year that they're still missing is that third receiver, and that's Mario Manningham off to San Francisco. Now Dominic Hickson is finally starting to make plays. He had three catches today, a really big touchdown to change momentum like Eli spoke about in his interview.
I think the thing that we can't overlook is that offensive line. They really gave him some protection up front, the big three in the middle, keeping that pressure for him, letting him be able to step into his throw and make that pass. That's what makes him a better quarterback, and he did a good job today of that.
Listen, Eli was a man at four touchdown passes. So 52-27 was the final score. You are watching Giants Post Game Live presented by Timex here on My Nine. I'm Russ Salzberg along with my colleagues, Howard Cross and Imani Toomer, and a friendly crowd outside of our stage here at MetLife Central. And we will be right back with more player reaction.
Giants fans, we all know that Hurricane Sandy has devastated many of our communities.
Your support can help the Red Cross provide warm meals, shelter, and hope for the families and friends when they need it the most.
Your donation will provide critical support to those in need. Text Red Cross to 90999 to donate $10 or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Thanks for your support.
Thanks for your support.
Thanks for your support.
All right, we're down here in the Coach's Club with Giants defensive back Stevie Brown. Two more picks today. That gives you 7 for the season. What was it about today's game that allowed you to render Drew Brees virtually useless?
We went out there. Coaches definitely had us prepared. And, we went out there and executed. And we were able to play well and play hard. And, whenever all that comes together, good results happen.
The offense did a great job by getting you guys some points. Special teams gave you guys great field position. Could you tell me how much of a factor that was in terms of the defense playing with confidence and extra gusto?
Oh, it's definitely big. Once you get up on the team, and it limits them, then they have to just kind of pass. And then whenever they get into a pass situation, it allows our front four, which is great, to get after the quarterback, and allows us on the back end, just passes coming. You don't really have to play too much run, and you can just sit back there and try to try to get the ball.
All right, one final question. You've been with a few organizations now. You're here with the Giants. This team has, like, an unbelievable turnover percentage over the course of the last couple of years under Perry Fuel. What is it about him? What is it about the system that allows the Giants to get so many turnovers week after week after week?
I think it's just because we put so much emphasis on it. Every single week, every single day, that's the main thing we start off talking about. We talk about turnovers, and, you know, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the ball back to the offense so we don't have to play, really. And since there's so much of an emphasis on it, that's, I think, what we go out there and try to do.
All right, and then finally, Tom Coughlin said you guys had to win your final four games. He put the mandate down. The gauntlet was there for 4-0. You got one. How determined is this team to close it out?
Very determined. You know, we're definitely trying to repeat. So, you know, we're going to go out there every single week, play as hard as we can, and finish out this right.
Two picks and a forced fumble for Stevie Brown. Back to you guys.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. And, you know, let me ask you, Howard, off the top. Some players have a knack for being around a football. Is that just flat out a knack, or is it something, an acquired skill?
That right there is the Roger Goodell player. That's what I call him. That's the guy who's not delivering big hits, not going for the knockout shot. He's going for the ball. He's actually playing the ball almost all the time when he's out there. He seems like he's always in the right position, either to knock it down or intercept it, where in the past it would be a guy going for the hit and trying to separate the man from the ball. They're trying to get the ball before the man actually catches it. So I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think it is very impressive. But what was more impressive to me today was how the offense scored every time they were in goal-to-go situations, meaning inside their 10-yard line, and also they were 4 out of 5 in the red zone. Those two things together, if you put that to last game, it wouldn't even have been close versus the Redskins on Monday night. So they've improved from last week, and that's one of the areas that if this team wants to win their 4 games in a row, they're going to have to do that.
Well, you know, today was a start. We'll see what comes up next week. We'll certainly talk more about that. All right, folks, our Sports Authority question of the week. Which Giants set an NFL record by being in 10 consecutive Pro Bowls? Was it Rosie Brown? Was it Harry Carson? Or was it Lawrence Taylor? We'll have the answer for you coming up here on Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex. All right, when we left you, the Sports Authority question of the week. Which Giants set an NFL record by being in 10 consecutive Pro Bowls? Was it Rosie Brown? Was it Harry Carson? Was it Lawrence Taylor? It was number 56, LT Lawrence Taylor, 1981 to 1990. Sports Authority, the official retail sporting goods store of the Giants. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. What is talk about something good, real good. Let's go down to Paul Dottino, standing by live with tight end Martellus Bennett.
Well, thanks so much, Russ. And Martellus, second straight week now, you caught a touchdown pass. Looks like you have found that end zone magic once again. You and Eli catching a lot of pitch and catch the last couple of weeks.
I never lost the magic. So it's just, just getting another chance to get in the red zone. Eli's been looking for me in the red zone to make some plays. And we caught some different stuff this week so I could get open. And I was able to get open the past 2 weeks.
From what you have been able to see, not only during the games on the field, but also on the films, what do you think is going to happen over the course of the next few weeks with this offense as it tries to right itself? Because let's face it, you have been inconsistent, to be honest.
I thought we played well last week against the Redskins. I thought offense was playing very well, but we just had penalties that set us back. And other than that, we. I think we've been playing well, so it's just about the passion and guys coming out there fighting for every single yards and trying not to get penalized. So, but Eli's doing a great job. Amaya's been running the ball. We had 100 yards rushing last week with, you know, 3 guys almost had 100 yards receiving. So I think the offense is playing well. We just got to make more, score more points.
You're talking about passion. Tom Coughlin had thrown the gauntlet down to you guys and said you had to win your final 4 games. How much did that resonate with the players? I know you want to take it 1 week at a time, but he certainly wanted to make sure you guys understood the situation.
I think everybody understands the situation. It's one of those things where everybody understands the situation. So, I think all the guys know what's at stake and what we want and the opportunity we have. I wasn't here last year. I think we leaned on last year too much. Oh, we could make this happen. But we got to understand that we're a whole new team and it got a whole bunch of different faces on his team, and it's a whole different the year's going to play out differently than it did last year. And however, that story, our story is unwritten, so we have 53 guys who are writing in the same book. So I think it'd be a great story if everybody writes the right kind of stuff and, you know, use complete predicates and complete subjects and things like that. You know, punctuation, it would be awesome.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you guys are going to author a final successful chapter to this whole thing, it's going to be because a lot of guys stepped up when other guys were hurt. And I know as one of the vocal guys in that locker room, you're certainly one of those guys who helped spark some of the backups to do what they have to do, like they did today. David Wilson, look at the performance he had.
Yeah, I'm kind of like J.K. Rowling of the Arthur. So I was in David to tell you, I'm in his ear the whole time. I told him he was going to get 100 yards rushing today if he just listened to me, and he did, and he had 100 yards rushing. Now I'm joking, but David Wilson's an explosive guy, and we know if we get him the creases, that the type of runs that we want him to get in the open field, nobody's going to catch him. It's like Hussein Bolt out there. So he does a great job. I'm very proud of him, very happy that he had the success that he had today, and that's kind of nice you want to have for your teammates. Victor Cruz did a great job. He had 1,000 yards receiving again. First two seasons, and so, man, anytime you have guys like that doing the things they're doing, you're always happy for them, and that's the kind of team we have. I would just like to see everyone succeed, whether it's defense, offense. Stevie Brown did a great job today, and he's the guy they brought in as a free agent, and he's been catching interceptions. You got to vote for him for the Pro Bowl, you know, so he looked like a young Ed Reed back there.
We thank Martellus Bennett for his time, and folks, as you can tell, it's fun having him around. Back to you, Russ.
Well, I'll tell you, all I got to say, fellas, is I'm glad he wasn't eating an eggplant parmesan or a sloppy joe. This place would be a mess.
Man, I thought, you know, Martellus Bennett, he's a selfish player. Didn't offer Paul any chips.
He didn't offer one chip. He sat there and ate those chips in front of him. Didn't say, Paul,
nothing.
You want one?
The way he was sucking
on his fingers, I mean, I don't want it one. Man, like,
you could tell Paul glimpsed down him every once in a while. He wanted one of those chips.
Well, if Paul was a man, he just would have reached in and grabbed it.
No.
Never take food away from a big man like that. No.
Well, you know what? I'm getting hungry. Speaking of hungry, let's talk about something hungry. You know, fans, with this Giants victory, you'll be able to buy any 6-inch or foot-long sub and get any 6-inch or foot-long sub of equal or lesser price free. Just go to Giants.com/Subway to print your free sub coupon. Subway, the official restaurant of Justin Tuck, the New York Giants, and athletes everywhere. You are watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex here on Mine On. I wonder if Martellus is giving fans some potato chips downstairs.
It's in the book bag. Selfish. That's what he got. Chips in the book bag.
That's his new nickname. We're going to call him Martellus Potato Chip
Mr.
Bennett.
Mr. Chips.
Not really. Just went through the regular warm-ups, but I know last night I was really tired, so after meetings I went upstairs and went straight to sleep.
Did you have a high expectation for yourself? Did you feel like you had a game like this possible this season?
You know, go back to his question, I fell asleep watching the Bo Jackson thing on ESPN, so maybe I was dreaming a little bit about that before I came out. But, you know, to come out and have a breakout game like this, you know, it's an excellent feeling. You want to have a good game. Every game you want to have a good game. But, you know, I think I went out there and my teammates went out there and we played great. We put up 50 points, which hasn't been done in a long time.
Talk about how far you've come since the first game of the year with the fumble and the coach didn't put you back in and you got emotional on the sidelines after that fumble.
Yeah, you know, I didn't have the greatest start for a rookie. And, you know, rookies have little room for error. So at that point, I just was put in a position where I had to gain the coach's trust again. And, you know, I stuck with it and kept working and working in meetings and working on the field and trying to regain the coach's trust. And I knew eventually my opportunity would come again. So I did those things so I'd be prepared when my opportunity did approach.
Did you feel like the organization brought you along slowly to get to this point?
Yeah. And, you know, they did what
I think it's fair to say not only has David Wilson gained the trust of his head coach, but as important or maybe even more important because the guys he's out on the field with, he's gained the trust of his teammates.
Yeah, I think so. I think gaining trust is one thing, but what he was doing when he was running the ball is totally different. What he did was put his foot in the ground and go up north and south really quickly. That's the kind of explosion you want to see out of your running back. It makes it hard for the defense to get set when they got guys on them. And engaged with him, blocking him, and all of a sudden the back is right beside you. Then he's passing you. And David Wilson's the kind of back that's going to do that. He won't jump and cut and bounce around. He's going to go north and south. Not the biggest guy in the world, but north and south.
Man, one of the things he does by his breakout game today is he makes it another person on this Giant offense that teams have to prepare for. He's going to be in the game plan this week. Got Ahmad Bradshaw. You got a lot of people in the backfield that are in the game plan, and that opens it up for everybody. The key to this offense, this Kevin Gilbride offense, is balance. 50% pass, 50% run, and now you got a legitimate run threat. You got two legitimate run threats, and so this is going to make this whole offense really start to hum coming down the home stretch.
Well, speaking of guys in the game plan, Victor Cruz, as we know, is always in the game plan. Let's go downstairs and hear what Victor had to say.
I think so. I think we found some of those elements today, and I think all three phases are playing well. But we understand this, you know, we just got to continue that trend, continue to keep playing that way, continue to keep putting it all together offensively, defensively, and on special teams. So we feel like it's a good start for us going into these next three. Oh, man, he made some huge plays today and when we needed it the most, and some were unexpected. And we've been watching him in practice just do amazing things, whether it be, you know, breaking plays or making some cuts that, you know, we only see guys that are Hall of Famers make. So he's definitely the most athletic on the team, and he made some big plays today.
Victor, what was it about Dallas and Washington that put some pressure on you guys today? What kind of stand you think you made to the division and the rest of the league about your resilience and staying power, just your desire to win it all?
I think we spoke a little bit about that, but I think we just won a ball game, man. We won one that we needed to win. We won one that against a team that beat us up pretty good the last couple times, and we got a much needed victory. So I think that was the biggest key. That was the biggest point for us in this game, and we just want to be able to be prepared and bring that same kind of intensity next week in Atlanta.
Kevin Gilbride did a great job tonight of getting Victor Cruz in the slot, moving him around, putting him in motion, getting him open all over the field. That's what you have to do with a player like Victor Cruz. Sometimes in the press coverage, he's not able to get or beat the press right away. Get him off the ball. Get him moving around. And when you get him moving around, he's dynamic in the passing game. He does have good hands when he's focusing, and he focused great tonight.
Hey, he did focus, and the rest of the team was focused. They were really focused on third down. Third down, they were 5 of 11 at 45%. If you win 45% of the plays on third down, you're going to move the ball, more plays, more time off the clock, more opportunities for young David Wilson to bust some big plays in the run game.
Well, it was clearly a game that the Giants had to have. Once again, final score 52-27 over the New Orleans Saints. Last time they went over 50, 12-20-86, beating the Green Bay Packers by a score at that day of 55-24. But again, 52-27 is the number that counts today. You are watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex, here on My9. We're coming back.
You know, it was something that was that we're looking forward to. Something we're looking forward to. And, you know, these guys did an exceptional job. Special teams was phenomenal. Offensively, putting up 52 points, phenomenal. You know, you can't ask for much more than that. And defense, I think we went out there and we did a solid job. I think for the most part, you know, we kept them out of the end zone. And, you know, we're consistently growing. Turnovers were huge. You know, turnovers were huge, and more importantly, with the turnovers, the offense were able to get points out of those turnovers, which makes it that much better. But, we were attacking the ball. We were being physical, and Stevie Brown made two exceptional interceptions, which is always good. You know, Stevie has definitely stepped up for us. He's been a phenomenal playmaker for us in the back end, and we appreciate those guys.
The sun must be shining in the press room.
my boy is a superstar. That right there. The jacket, the T-shirt, the glasses.
Well, that Puff Daddy jacket on.
I don't
shiny
even know what
suit.
That is, man.
But as you said, though, as much as he might be styling entre-roll, he's got some old school in him. You alluded to it earlier about being an old-style kind of football player.
You know,
let's
what?
Go get the job done.
He talks a good game, and he plays a good game. I mean, he is having a Pro Bowl-type season himself. You know, may not have all the interceptions, but he's making tackles. Great run support, making guys, you know, think about catching the ball in the secondary, and inspiring his teammates. He's doing all of it.
Amani, let me ask you. Now you're going into a place to face the Atlanta Falcons, a very good Atlanta Falcon team in their own building. what do the Giants need to do as they prepare for that?
I think the Atlanta Falcons are a very beatable team. That's why they don't get the respect around the league. They don't play up to their competition. So now they're a team that's already clinched a playoff spot. They're 11-2 now. I remember being in that same situation in 2008, and it's tough to play when the team that you're playing against is fighting for their lives, and you're just kind of on cruise control hoping people don't get hurt. Let's hope the Giants go down there and play like the desperate team that they are to try and win this this NFC East and finish out the season.
Well, going to his point, do you buy into the philosophy? And I mean it, as crazy as it sounds, that the Giants prefer not to have life easy and they play better. The coach almost seems as if he's buying it when their backs are up against the wall.
I don't know so much about backs against the walls, but again, Atlanta's another one of those teams in the league that they want to beat, that they want to put down, that, as you would say, I don't know, this is going to be one of those victories. This is going to be our, you know, trademark victory, and Atlanta could be the team that's going to do that. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I'm not real sure. But it happens sometimes. It won't like that.
No, this is an honor on Marcellus Bennett. Because he's styling. You know?
He talks good then.
Potato chip is what I call him. Chip Bennett.
Well, you know what? As long as Martellus Bennett can perform the way he's been performing, we don't mind if he's eating potato chips. He can have sloppy joes, eggplant parmesans, meatball subs, whatever he wants. Bottom line is he was a big part of a 52-27 victory today. Excuse me. One guy we didn't mention real quick. I know briefly, but watching Dominic Hixon come back, big touchdown catch. And here's a guy you want to talk about, a football player. You know, he's 2 years ACL, hurt this year. He keeps fighting back all the time. All right, what do you say we take a look at the standings once more, because it is tight. Your NFC East certainly is. But next week, our next game is Sunday, December 16th, 1 p.m., Giants-Falcons in Atlanta. And again, Giants 8-5, Redskins 7-6, Cowboys 7-6, Eagles 4-9. And as always, after that game next week, the moment it ends, you want to flip right over here to my 9 for Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex. For Amani Toomer, for Howard Cross, and yours truly, Russ Salzberg.
Oh, good game, man.
We want to thank you for watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex. For everybody here, we're at the stage at MetLife Central. Thanks for being with us. We will see you next week from the Giants Timex Performance Center. Have a good week.